Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand hits a deep to left field. That's way back. Shoot, score! And it's a bummer! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line, presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Here we go! It's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Thursday, December 6th, 2018 edition of the program. Happy to be with you tonight as there is so much going on. Executive producer Ben Boyd and I were just talking about this. What a week it's been, and we have a lot to talk about this evening. Here's what we've got coming up on the show. This first segment, we're going to chat with Daniel Descalso, of course, former Cardinal, also spent 2 years in Arizona with the Diamondbacks the last two seasons, a teammate of Paul Goldschmidt, acquired yesterday by the Cardinals. Daniel is going to be with us to give us his take on Paul Goldschmidt, the player, Paul Goldschmidt, the person, and more. We'll do that here in just a couple of minutes. The Cardinals going to officially introduce Goldschmidt tomorrow at a news conference at Busch Stadium. That will be at 10:30 a.m. And for the first time since Albert Pujols, the Cardinals have a bona fide superstar. The Cardinals have one of the five best players in Major League Baseball on their team in Paul Goldschmidt. It is remarkable. If you look at any set of numbers, and you can look, you know, just the back of the baseball card numbers, as we like to call them. You can look at the advanced numbers, offense, defense, everything. Paul Goldschmidt, one of the best players in a Major League Baseball. And has been over the last 5, 6, 7 years. One of the handful of best players in Major League Baseball, along with Mike Trout, Josh Donaldson, Jose Altuve, Mookie Betts, Joey Votto, one of the best, and he is now a St. Louis Cardinal, and you acquired him for, I think, just a package exponentially, I don't want to say smaller, because I think it's a perfectly reasonable package, and whenever you're talking about not just prospects, but guys that have been in the big leagues and have contributed, that's valuable. But we talk about dealing from positions of strength, and in terms of what the Cardinals have, where their organizational depth lies, and what their plans are for the immediate future in this window to win, it is, I think, far less damaging of a package in the eyes of many fans and many non-partial observers. So, Paul Goldschmidt, a St. Louis Cardinal, and regardless of how long he wears the birds on the bat, whether it's this year, whether it's 5 more years, to whatever, this is an absolute win and an absolute, as Ben Fredrickson called it in the Post-Dispatch, home run for the club. So can't wait for tomorrow morning when he's officially introduced and we get to chat with the Cardinals, members of their front office, I'm sure Bill DeWitt Jr., as well. We'll hear from Daniel Descalso momentarily. Also an exciting afternoon at Busch Stadium across the street at Ballpark Village today as the Cardinals announced the U.S. Women's National Team is going to play here in May. We'll get to that in a second. All right, so we've got baseball. We've got lots of Cardinals activity. Mike Claiborne and myself are flying to Las Vegas on Saturday afternoon. We will be there all next week, broadcasting and providing updates beginning Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the Major League Baseball winter meetings. And we will have everything covered. A big thanks to our sponsor, Goodwill. Donate a car for 4 free field box tickets. And we will have you covered here on KMOX, on social media, on the website as well. With that being said, Phone numbers 436-7900, 314-436-7900. Follow me on Twitter at CHRABE, CHRABE. I'm going to do some fun kind of giveaway scavenger hunt stuff as well for the winter meetings. So make sure that you're following me. Follow us across all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind the scenes, photos, and more. A little baseball talk, a little soccer talk, and then behind the bench with John Kelly and a Blues head coach, Craig Berube. That comes your way at 6:30, then an encore presentation of the Jack Buck Awards beginning at 7 o'clock. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
I don't know, man. M&M's are good.
M&M's are good. Mike Anderson's my guy.
He produces.
Here in the KMOX studios, it is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. All right. I feel like there's so much going on that we're going to have plenty of time in earnest beginning next week to talk about Goldschmidt, beginning tomorrow to talk about Paul Goldschmidt and to talk about the impact that he's going to make on this team, to talk about what this is going to do for this club, where this club is headed, what the impact's going to be, not just on the field, but really how it's going to shift, I think, the narrative, shift the landscape. I guess not the narrative because it's going to be happening on the field, how it's going to affect the rest of the moves the Cardinals make. But first, the reaction. And the reaction from around baseball. John Smoltz on MLB Network.
First of all, he's one of my favorite players. I think he represents the game in such a classy way. He's one of those superstars not a lot of people know about. And now I think about the Central, and I think about the balance of what is brewing to be an incredible three-team, you know, race over there between Brewers are loaded. The Cubs are looking to do something. So now you have this balance of the Central and the East.
Yeah.
That is a huge play for the St. Louis Cardinals.
A little bit more Smoltz on the trade again yesterday on MLB Network.
That's a jolt of energy that every player just felt right now. I can remember the first time I was sitting in bed watching the news and found out we got Greg Maddux. And I was like, holy cow, did we go to the next level? And that's what these players are going to feel, that culture he's going to love. He's going to love that St. Louis, and he's going to flourish.
You know, I think there's something certainly to be said for that. And we talked about this with Joey Vitale last night on our fourth period coverage after the Blues lost to the Edmonton Oilers. More hockey coming up. Like, if you're a player and you're on a team that perennially competes, and Joey mentioned, you know, some of the trades the Penguins made when he was there, trading for Brendan Morrow and a couple of other guys and losing in the conference finals to the Bruins. But if you're a Cardinal player too, and you've seen the power shift in the National League Central. And listen, it's no secret. You can look around. Adam Wainwright's got a year left on his deal. A couple of years for Matt Carpenter. Michael Wacha could be a free agent. You're going to have some decisions to make. You're going to have some money that is being moved around. There's a window to win right now, but you are also in the midst of maybe the best division in baseball. All of a sudden, it's the Central. It's the NL East, and of course, it's the AL East. So, what message does this send to the team? If you're a player, like John Smoltz said, you're sitting around. Matt Carpenter tweeted it yesterday. You can see guys' reactions now with social media almost in real time. You're like, holy cow. We just hit a home run. Our front office just acquired one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Here's Sean Casey, MLB Network.
They instantly got better defensively. That infield instantly got better with Paul Goldschmidt at first. And having Carpenter do what he needs to do wherever he can play because he's a great athlete, Carpenter is so excited to have Goldschmidt in the lineup. He'll play wherever.
Yeah, and can you imagine with Carpenter, if you get Dexter Fowler like Dexter Fowler of a couple of years ago and Dexter Fowler when he's healthy, that is massive OBP at the top of the order. Then you have Goldschmidt, Ozuna, Yachty, DeYoung, Bader Wong. Is that a pretty good 1-8? Daniel Descalso, of course, former Cardinal, also spent the last 2 years in Arizona as a teammate of Paul Goldschmidt. Gave him a ring yesterday to get his thoughts and his reaction to the trade.
Daniel, how are you, man? How's the offseason going so far?
I'm good. Offseason's going fast. You know, it seems to go faster and faster every year, already December, with the winter meetings right around the corner. So But yeah, a lot of action today from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, there was. And you've spent the last couple of years with Arizona after a couple of nice years in Colorado. You put together some real nice seasons playing just about every day. And you also played with Paul Goldschmidt, obviously an Arizona team that's moving in a different direction. What was kind of the feeling around that club as the season ended and the organization kind of made it known publicly, Daniel, whether you know you were a guy with a contract running up like you or guys that had been with the club for a while, that they were going to start to potentially move some pieces and enter a rebuilding phase?
Yeah, obviously sort of a disappointing end for us. There was some high expectations heading into the season, and we spent a lot of days in first place, and then just, you know, we just couldn't get the job done. And so a lot of us were kind of, you know, wondering what direction the team was going to go in when the offseason hit. But, you know, I think with this trade of Goldie, you know, I think the writing's pretty clear in what direction they're heading now.
Give us an idea of, first of all, what Paul Goldschmidt was like as a teammate and what he meant to that community and that organization.
Well, I'm sure everyone that's a baseball fan knows how much of a superstar that Paul Goldschmidt is. I mean, that guy can do everything on the baseball field, hit for average, power, can steal bases, run the bases, play defense. I mean, he's an all-around player. He's, you know, perennial all-star. I think he's the only National League player to be in the last, like, six all-star games. But as good of a player as he is, he's even better off the field. The work he's done in the community here in Phoenix with Phoenix Children's Hospital and his bowling tournament to raise money for the hospital and the Children's Hospital. He's just, you know, you're not going to find a nicer guy in baseball, let alone in life.
How do you think that Cardinal fans are going to react to him and how quickly, given, like you said, not just what he does on and off the field, but also what you know about St. Louis as a baseball city, Daniel?
Well, they're going to love him. It's not going to be hard for him to endear himself to the Cardinal fans. They're going to be getting a guy that shows up to play, you know, 162 games. He runs balls out. You know, he takes extra bases. He takes pride in the little things. He's going to help teammates. Going to make his other infielders around him better. He's going to make other infielders around him better. And the first thing I thought when I saw the trade was official is that's going to be a pretty perfect fit.
In terms of what he can do all around, can you compare him to anyone else that you've played with?
Well, I hesitate to do this because, you know, he has the best first 10 years of anyone I've, you know, in baseball I've ever seen. But he's got a lot of Albert in him, you know, the things that he does so well and his presence in the community. You know, obviously when I played with Albert, it was his 10th year in. Goldie's got about six or seven. So, you know, that's as close of a comparison as I can get. And so the Cardinals fans are lucky to be getting a superstar like Goldie.
Yeah, we always talk about, you know, guys coming to St. Louis and playing in this kind of atmosphere. You've been in the midst of it. You've been on incredible teams. You've been a part of incredible organizations. Without speculating or speaking for him, how do you think Paul will like playing in St. Louis? And I guess more to the question, Daniel, when you would come to St. Louis with Colorado teammates or Arizona teammates, whether guys had played here a handful of times or never before, what was the reaction from them getting to play inside Busch Stadium?
Well, guys always liked coming to St. Louis. It was always a great trip. You know, whether it was May or the end of September, the stands are pretty much packed, and it's a good atmosphere. And when you're on a good team there, a good Cardinal team, you know, the fans love it. They're some of the best fans in baseball, and it's going to be great for Goldie. I think he's really going to enjoy it. You know, you saw that the team was trending upwards toward the end of last year, and you add a piece like him, it's going to make him, you know, that much better.
Daniel, we can't thank you enough for taking a couple of minutes to talk about one of your teammates who's now headed to one of your former organizations. I know it'll be a busy offseason for you, and your agents and your team excited to see what lies ahead for you and your family, and all the best, man. We'll see you one way or another back in St. Louis very soon.
All right, thank you very much.
That's Daniel Descalso, who was kind enough to take a couple of minutes to join us yesterday and talk about Paul Goldschmidt, the comparison to Albert Pujols, both with what he can do on and off the field. And again, you have a bona fide one of the best players in Major League Baseball on your team. And a guy who shows no signs of slowing down. Had a slow early part of last year, but then rebounded and still finished sixth in MVP voting. So you've got guys that have finished in the top 10 in MVP voting, and Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt, if you even go back a handful of years, throw Yadier Molina into the mix as well. And Marcell Ozuna, who got votes in his final year with the Marlins. So, just, man. Dude stole 32 bases in 2016. Was caught five times. 32 stolen bases. So, looking forward to tomorrow, 10:30, Paul Goldschmidt introduced by the Cardinals. Today, the Cardinals announced the U.S. Women's National Team going to play on Thursday, May 16th at 7 o'clock, their second-to-last game before they head to France for the World Cup. Here's Carolyn Kindle, Betts.
Other than cheering on our own MLS club in St. Louis, I cannot think of a better team to root for than the outstanding ladies of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team on their way to what we all hope is another FIFA World Cup title in 2019.
St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson.
We all know the women's national team is the best in the world. And the decision to play in St. Louis before heading to France to claim their fourth World Cup reaffirms what St. Louisans have known for years. St. Louis is the soccer capital of the country.
Exciting stuff. Soccer, Goldschmidt, hockey as well. Blues in action tomorrow in Winnipeg. Behind the Bench next with John Kelly and head coach Craig Berube. Chris Ramby with you. Ben Boyd, the executive producer. Mike Anderson in the house as well. Today, Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Don't go anywhere. Hockey Talk next on KMOX.
This is a special presentation of the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Welcome to Behind the Bench with Blues broadcaster John Kelly on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
And welcome to another edition of Behind the Bench with the head coach, Craig Berube. I am John Kelly. The Blues, of course, enjoying an off night tonight in frosty Winnipeg before they resume play tomorrow night against the Jets. Well, coach, since our last show, the club went 1-1-1, 3 points out of six, but I would assume that considering last night you had a 2-0 lead, I'm sure you would have liked more than 3 points last week.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, we had the bad game in Arizona. We let that get away from us, obviously. That was not a good game. But, you know, played a good game in Colorado, got 2 points. And then last night, for the most part, you know, we played well, but we found a way to lose rather than win.
And again, Coach, you know, last week you have the great win Friday night and then a really tough outing in Arizona. Again, a very inconsistent week. I know we talked about it last week, but it sort of continues. Any reasons why?
Mental toughness. I think that we have to become a mentally tougher team individually. Guys have to become mentally tougher. It's a grind out there, back-to-back games. You got to be smarter. You got to do things better. We're getting in penalty trouble here too much lately. Too many penalties in Arizona and too many penalties last night. And, you know, that's just mental toughness. You know, you can't be going to the box because you're frustrated or, you know, we got broken last night a little bit late in the game, you know, and that can happen.
Coach, as you know, you took over the Wednesday before Thanksgiving on the 21st, and obviously it's been a few weeks now. Are you seeing some improvement in some areas that you like?
Yeah, definitely. I think that from a competitive standpoint, we're getting better. We have to compete. You have to play hard in this league, and that is coming. It's not consistent enough yet, but it is coming. Just our defensive game is pretty strong for the most part. Other than the two games, Winnipeg and Arizona, was not good. But in the other four games, we're pretty solid defensively. So that's one area that we wanted to improve on too.
Coach, obviously, anytime you evaluate a hockey team, you know, power plays are important, we know that, but I know coaches look at five-on-five play. How's your five-on-five play in the last couple of weeks?
Getting better. Again, defensively, we are getting better, but we still have to improve. And then five-on-five scoring, you know, we got to finish better. I think that we are getting good looks and good chances, and we had a late 2-on-1 late in the game last night, would have sealed the game. We just don't put it in. So we got to find a way to score goals, 5-on-5.
All right, Coach, let's look at last week. Of course, the great victory Friday night in Denver, 3-2 in overtime. Tarasenko and Steen score. and then Parayko, that highlight reel goal in overtime. But, you know, I think more important than that, you held that top line of Colorado to the one power play goal by Rantanen. Was that your best checking job of the year against that, maybe the best line in hockey?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good, obviously. And last night against Edmonton, the guys did a great job against McDavid, too. So both those games, the guys are out in the ice against those top players, did a real good job.
What's the key against top players? Is it just as much mental as it is physical against them?
Yeah, being smart, being good with the puck and what you're doing with it, things like that. But also it's taking time and space away from them. When you give them too much time and space and let them get skating with the puck, it's tough.
The Blues in that game, of course, lost two players. Steen got hit by Eric Johnson in the second period on a high hit. He goes down, and then, of course, Petrangelo, you lose him late to the hand injury. How tough is it losing two top players in one game like that?
Well, injuries are tough. I mean, obviously, we got a lot of real good players out of the lineup, but, you know, people have to step up. And, you know, the way we played last night for the most of the game, we're capable of it for sure. But it's just, again, it's about finding that consistency and that mental toughness to keep pushing and keep going. Like, you know, we have to push through and we have to get ourselves in uncomfortable situations and be okay with it.
Coach, we mentioned the Blues won that game in overtime on the goal by Parayko, but I did notice, and I'm sure everybody noticed, you used two defensemen for either most of, if not all of, overtime, and you did it again last night. Is that something that is just situation-based, or is that something you like to do in a three-on-three go with 2D?
Situation-based. You know, with McDavid last night, I think it's good to use 2D. Just how dynamic he is and speed-wise, defending is going to be important, obviously. And same with the Colorado guys. Just they're real dynamic players and have great speed. So I use 2D and we control the puck a little bit more and keep it and just kind of frustrate them to a certain extent. But also when they have the puck, we're in better position to defend.
Were you as amazed as we all were by Parayko's dash up the ice and stripping the puck from Girard? I mean, it was obviously a highlight play of the night.
Yeah, it was. He has that capability, obviously. He's a great skater, and sometimes I don't think he knows how good he could be. You know, he's one of the fastest guys in the league, and it was a great goal. That's him coming out of his comfort zone a little bit. He can do a lot more of that. He's capable of that stuff.
Coach, and of course, we touched on the Arizona game after beating Denver. You lose 6-1, a real downer. I guess it's tough to compete in a game when you're shorthanded five times in the first period. Is that fatigue, chasing the game like you did in the first period?
Well, I think it was more frustration for me that set in our game. I don't know. I thought we came out pretty good in that game and were ready to go. But then when you march to the penalty box five times in a row, that really depletes your team. And, you got D out there killing way too much. And then they're tired. Back-to-back games. Use, the penalty killers that we use. They're tired now. So it really hurts your game. We escaped that first period 1-0 only, down 1-0. So we were in good shape, to be honest with you. But I thought it was hard to recover after that.
Coach, in that game, as you said, shorthanded five times and too many men. You had another one last night. Why all these too many men penalties? And not just since you took over, it goes back to Mike Yeo this year and even last year.
Yeah, it's stupidity. It really is. It's guys not being patient on a bench, jumping too early. That's the bottom line. If you can't jump on the ice when we have possession of the puck, and we still have our guys in the ice, you're going to get a penalty. They don't care if it's a foot from the bench. So you got to have more patience. And guys that are coming off the ice, you got to be committed to just, that's it. I'm coming off the ice now, no matter what. Because what happens is a lot of times they'll see something. Oh, it's a turnover. I'm going to get back. And then another guy's jumping already, and now you got too many men on the ice. So they got to be committed to coming to the bench no matter what, get the other guys on the ice, and just more patience, the guys on the bench not jumping too early.
Coach, not only did you lose that game in Arizona, you lost Robbie Fabry late in the game. And, of course, he's coming off missing a year and a half after surgery on his ACL, not once but twice. How bad do you feel for him, like everybody, and have you had a chance to talk to him since the shoulder injury?
Yeah, obviously I talked to him, you know, just keep your head up. What am I going to say? Like, it's been a tough goal for him, obviously, and, you know, it's just, he's going to have to be mentally tough here and grind through it and get that shoulder better and come back.
Yeah, tough for him. All right, Craig Berube, the Blues, of course, played last night. We mentioned that, losing in a shootout. Did you feel like after a 2-0 lead, you might have sat back a little bit instead of extending to 3-0?
Well, in the second period, we did. We got caught in a three-quarter ice game in the second period. Just didn't manage the puck very well, and Edmonton came out strong, obviously, like we knew they were going to. And, you know, it looks like you're sitting back, but you're really not. You're just defending. Because if you don't make plays and get going up the ice and get in the offensive zone, all you do is defend the whole period, and that's what we did.
It seemed like you almost made it 3-1, but then Tarasenko gets called for goalie interference when he really was hit into the goaltender by an Edmonton player. I don't want to get you fined here, Coach, but obviously that's a big turning point in the game if that goal is allowed.
Oh, definitely, and it should have been allowed. He got pushed into the goalie. He didn't touch the goalie. He got pushed into the goalie by the Edmonton player. But, hey, that's stuff you got to deal with again. You know, nothing we can do about it. And you just got to move on from it.
Coach, we saw Jordan Nolan make his debut last night in a Blues uniform, had an assist on the first goal, and also Jordan Kyrou recalled from the minors. Your thoughts on those two players?
They were okay. I thought Nolan was good early. I think he would have liked to have been a little bit better in the game, too. I thought he was a little bit too safe. Need him to be a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck and getting after it. And Kyrou, you know, his speed's very noticeable out there. He didn't get a lot of minutes, but he was involved in one of the goals, too. So he's a good offensive player and has real good offensive instincts and speed.
Coach, I noticed that Carl Gunnarsson and Jaden Schwartz did take the morning skate yesterday before the game. I guess they're getting closer. Any timeline from your perspective?
Just a matter of how they feel, to be honest with you. Like, right now, you know, they're not ready to go because they don't feel like they're capable of it yet. But as soon as they're ready and they feel like they're ready to get in there and compete and play, then they'll be back. I mean, that's the best answer I can give you right now on them.
Coach, we mentioned the Blues in Winnipeg tomorrow night against the Jets. You're 0-2-1 against them, and I know it was a tough game last time you played them 8-4 as Laine scored 5 goals. So I guess the obvious question is, how do you stop Laine tomorrow night?
Well, we just got to be closer to him, that's all. He had, you know, way too much time in a lot of the shots, and he obviously finished very well that night. So we got to be tighter, and we will be. We got to check him better, that's all.
Coach, you've been around the game a long time as a player and a coach. Does his shot remind you of anyone that you've seen or, in the past?
Well, he shoots it like Brett Hull, you know, like he really does. I mean, it's just off his stick and, like, it's quick. You know, it's quick and hard. I think he doesn't aim or anything. He just shoots it off the stick real quick. He shoots off the pass very well like Hull.
Coach, after tomorrow night's game, the Blues come home to begin a 4-game homestand Sunday, a matinee against Vancouver. The Canucks off to a decent start, and they, of course, have some pretty good skill up front. Bo Horvat, we know him, but they also have this rookie named Elias Pettersson, who is really taking this league by storm. He's so creative. I had a chance to see Pettersson, and your thoughts on Vancouver?
Yeah, you know, just haven't watched him real close, and obviously, like, just viewing games here and there, but he's obviously a highly skilled player and can make plays and has real good vision. So they're a good team. They're an up-and-coming team. They got a lot of young youth in there, and they're going to play a fast game.
Coach, thank you for this, and good luck tomorrow night against Winnipeg.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that's the head coach, Craig Berube, coming up in our next segment of Behind the Bench. Of course, former goaltender Curtis Joseph has a new book out. It's called Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. And last night he had a chance to sit down with our Chris Kerber, and we'll play that interview coming up next right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to Behind the Bench with John Kelly on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
And John Kelly back on Behind the Bench with the head coach, Craig Berube. Tonight's show is sponsored by Boardwalk Hardwood Floors, your factory direct source for hardwood flooring since 1997, with showrooms in Manchester, Crestwood, and St. Peter's, or you can visit BoardWalkHardwood.com. And again, we thank the coach, Craig Berube, for his time. And in this segment, we sort of go back in time. Of course, everybody in St. Louis Blues fans remember Cujo. Curtis Joseph played for the Blues from 1989 until 1995, and he has a new book out. It is called Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. He was in St. Louis last night, and he had a chance to talk with our Chris Kerber.
Curtis, welcome back to St. Louis. It's always a treat to have you come back here, and my goodness, do the fans love having you around.
You know, I always say that about St. Louis to all my friends, that they love their athletes and they embrace them in every sport, and it's really endearing to come back here and have Blues fans talk about certain games that you played and relive that with them.
Do you feel like kind of with the way different players and teammates of you were traded in what and wound up being a pretty tough era and a tough few years, I think, for St. Louis Blues fans, that it almost left a feeling of unfinished business here?
Oh, my gosh. We had a great nucleus, and Blues fans will attest to that. We had a great young nucleus of some star players, and we could have done a lot of good things if you keep that nucleus together, and we all loved it here, and we had some great times over at the old arena and here, so I look on those memories very fondly.
Did it take a little while to get over it?
Oh, yeah. That first trade is devastating, you know, and I was such a young guy and not really a man yet, so it was an eye-opener for me, and it hit me hard for sure.
We're talking with Curtis Joseph. He's got a new book out. It's called Cujo, and you can pick it up online at all the different bookstores as well. And what was the process like leading up to the decision to say, I think I'm going to write a book?
That's a great question. I met my wife about 11 years ago, and she wanted to know all about me and my childhood. And I'd tell her, and she goes, oh, my gosh, that's a great story. You're going to write a book one day. And I'm like, you're biased, you know. And so I would do, you know, being retired, I would do some speaking engagements to junior teams out west and kinsmen clubs. And people would be lined up afterwards and go, I didn't know that about you. I'm adopted too, or I became a goalie because of you, and you were my inspiration. So, and you should write a book, because I would tell about my childhood. So, you know, I got comfortable with the idea and met Kirstie Day, who's an amazing author and a collaborator. And we had a great time, took a year to do it, and it was the right person for me. And people tell me and give me the feedback that it's an inspirational book, and that's what I wanted.
What do you know now about the challenge of putting a book together that you didn't know beforehand?
Wow, you got to have a lot of information. You got to do some fact checking. You got to have stories from friends, and you got to have a bunch of guys come in and be on board. And so we had from Ken Dryden to Steve Thomas to Kelly Chase help me with the book, and that was the fun part about it.
What, when you do these interviews and you do the signings, what are a couple of pieces in the book that you sit there and people want to hear about the most?
Well, first of all, what hits them is the childhood and how I grew up in a mental home with 20 mental patients, and what the challenges were for that, and not having enough food to eat, and just, you know, that's how it started. And then, you know, you have the Blues fans or the Leaf fans that want to hear the stories about certain series, and you know, when you guys beat the Blackhawks, tell me about that, and what's the inside scoop? So you have all a wide range of people that enjoy the book.
Was it an enlightening thing for you to do, to write this?
So, yeah, I learned a lot, actually, and I got pictures in the book that I'd never seen before. And I heard some stories about my childhood that I never knew. And so we're to ask older people that knew me as a child, and, yeah, this happened, and this happened. And I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that. Because you're a child, you don't understand. So, yeah, very enlightening for me, and I'm glad I went through the process and really wrote the book so people, young kids, could be inspired to continue playing hockey and meet challenges and overcome challenges.
What's your favorite part of the book?
Well, I do get asked that, and, you know, I asked my biological mother, who I met when I was a St. Louis Blue at 25 years old, and she was only 16 years old, and I asked her to write a chapter in the book. I thought it would be great for young females and great for maybe people that have given up their child. And she, 3 weeks later, she got back to me. She goes, Curtis, this is very hard for me, but I'll do it. Wow. And so she wrote a chapter in the book, how she was feeling at the time. This is 1967, and she's 16 years old. I mean, the poor thing. She went to the hospital by herself.
And you didn't meet her till you were 25.
Yeah. And so,
was it hard for you to ask her to do that?
No, I have a relationship with her, and she's an amazing person. So, but she agreed to do it. And after she talked to Kirstie Day and told the story, she emailed me back and she said, "Curtis, you got the right person to work with. You're going to have an amazing book."
So, I can't wait to read that chapter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you about the hockey masks.
Yeah.
You had some amazing masks, and it wasn't just here in St. Louis. The one in Toronto was spectacular, like iconic. How much of a role did you play in that design, or did you turn it over to an artist and say, "Impress me"?
Yeah, no, I did that. You're the artist. I want to see what you can do. And so right away it was great. And back then when I played for the Blues, we'd fax back and forth, right? And I'd say, "Oh, change this," or I want it less detailed. And I remember growing up that all the goalies had the same mask, Ken Dryden, Jerry Cheevers, and you recognize them by their mask. So I wanted the same mask all the time and be recognized by that mask. And fortunately, it was a great design. And, you know, kids would wear it in games, and it was good for me.
When were you first called Cujo?
I think it was Robert Dirk here in St. Louis. He got tired of saying Curtis Joseph, so he said shortened it to Cujo. And I always tell this story. I was Curtis Monroe on my birth certificate growing up. Wendy Monroe was my biological mother. And I changed my name when I was 20 years old to Curtis Joseph, to the father that had raised me. And I would have been Kumo. And that wouldn't have worked.
Oh, that wouldn't have worked. Brett Hull always tells the story about in practice. You know, when you'd be in practice, sometimes you would only work on certain game situations. So pucks would go on one side, and then he was kind of that same way. He would also just be shooting where he might be shooting over the course of the game. Very, very good game practice players is the way he described you.
Yeah, I was a student of the game. I wanted to get better. I was always playing percentages and I had a photographic memory for players and plays, so I certainly visualized. So in practice, I wanted to visualize what was going to happen the next game, and I'd work on certain situations. So Brett's a very cerebral guy also, so we approach the game very similarly.
Listen, folks, you got to grab the hold of the book, Cujo. That's why I'm not asking about Shovel Day and all that. I know it's written in there, and you can just imagine, you know, the Greek, "Here comes Shovel Day." But I told everybody I teased the fact that one day you turned down a free agent contract that most people don't know about it, and that was when a couple of college kids at Sundeckers offered you a $10 fee to play goalie for them in bubble hockey, and you very politely turned it down, but you turned it down. Well, I was the general manager of that team, so you turned down me and my buddy Paul Rohde to play bubble hockey Sundeckers. But it's a story we tell everybody. We're like, man, we offered it. We were college kids, so for us it was a rich free agent contract.
I didn't want to embarrass anybody. Yeah. I was really good.
we asked him. We go, and you were with somebody at the time. We said, am I playing goalie for us? You go, "Guys, really?"
It's my day off.
It's your day. It's my day off. And we thought about going to 20, but we realized we still needed beer money.
So we
kept it there. Hey, great to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming up.
Yeah,
and best of luck with the book.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
And once again, thanks to Curtis Joseph, who had a chance to visit with our Chris Kerber last night at Enterprise Center. That's our show for another night. The Blues, again, are in action tomorrow night in Winnipeg. That game begins at 7 o'clock St. Louis time as the Blues and Jets wrap up their four-game season series. Thanks again to the head coach, Craig Berube. Also, thanks to Curtis Joseph and Chris Kerber. For them, I'm John Kelly. Have a great night, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.